Amen. God will let you believe a lie. If that's what you want and you don't want it in your heart, God will let you believe a lie. Because what makes you mad hardens you. Amen. Amen. What makes you mad hardens you. Amen. God didn't necessarily harden you, but every time I tell you something you don't like, it makes you mad and it makes you harder against the truth. And rejected truth hardens you. Amen. And so when God tells you, I don't want you to do that, and it makes you mad, you get harder against God. And he tells you, I don't want you to do that, and it makes you mad, you're getting harder and harder and harder against God. And the Bible says that he will send you strong delusions that you may believe a lie. Amen. And when you believe a lie, basically, it becomes a mental stronghold, according to Romans chapter 1, verse 28. Amen. Mentally, there is a stronghold. Their minds are darkened, and they don't want to receive the truth. And so, therefore, they reject truth. And God says he allows them to get strong delusions. That's why 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5 tells us that we ought to cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of Christ, and bring every thought into obedience of Christ. Because my thoughts are run wild. And just because you think it, don't make it so. Amen. You can be thinking a lie. You can't believe everything you think. You can't believe all of your thoughts. Everything you're thinking is not necessarily true. But there's no lie detector in your head that's going to say, look, this is not and that isn't. So you begin, it's a mistake to believe everything. Well, the truth of the matter is that God gave him a partner. And the partner I'm talking about is a female partner. Have we got a witness? Because God said it was not good for him to be alone. And so I will make a helper. Amen. I will make a helper. I will make somebody that is good for him. Amen. The Bible tells us the animals all had something. Amen. Amen. The male bird had a female bird. And amen. The male hippopotamus had a female hippopotamus. But no Adam had nobody. The Bible said there was not found anyone, verse 20, to help Adam. Amen. Amen. God knew that this was an intelligent man. Amen. He named all the animals. God brought him to them. All the animals were paraded in front of Adam, and Adam named them. And whatever Adam named them, that became their name. Adam named a lot of animals, didn't he? He was an intellectually smart, academically man. When you come to academia, he was a wonderful, intelligent man, Adam was. Amen. Adam was very intelligent. And so what God did is he allowed him to name all of the animals. Amen. Let's not hold you too long. But there was not found. So when God got ready to get someone, he went and got a female. And God didn't just give him the female. He said, but wait a minute, we got to have a ceremony. Amen. Amen. You just can't start, amen, being together. You got to have a ceremony. Amen. Before you go, to hold them up now. I know he says that, I mean, we know that that's what happened, because God put Adam to sleep in verse 21, and the Lord God called a deep sleep. He had to put him down. Amen. He couldn't just take a few aspirins and, you know, make him sleep lightly. He needed to be put out, because God is a surgeon, and what God did was he put Adam, he gave him a divine anesthetic, and he anesthesia, and he went under, and he didn't just go to sleep, he went deeply to sleep. Amen. An earthquake could have happened, and Adam still wouldn't have woke up. He was knocked out. And God says he's a doctor, and so what God did is he went into man's side and removed the rib. Amen. He removed the rib, and the Bible tells us in verse 21 that after he called that sleep to fall, verse 22 says, and then the rib which the Lord had taken from him, he made it into a woman. I don't know how he did it. I don't know how he did it, but he made him into a woman. He's a doctor. This is the only doctor I know that do this, make people. And he brought her to the man. Amen. God says, I'm going to give her away. Amen. Wilt thou have this woman to be thy lawful wedded wife, Adam? Amen. Who giveth this woman to be married to Adam? God says, I do. I brought you a woman. And that's a good thing, because the Bible says that it is a good thing to get a woman from the Lord. The Bible says that in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 22, amen. I forgot what it said. I mean, I did it this morning. What did it say? He that findeth a wife findeth a good thing, Brother Cleophas. And he finds something good. He needs something good. Adam needs something good. Amen. It wasn't good for him to be alone, so he needs to make his life better. And God says it in Proverbs 18:22, he that findeth a wife. And by the way, good things have to be found. Amen. They're not just laying on top of the ground. You got to put some work into finding somebody good. You got to hunt for it. You got to search. You got to wait. You got to sweat. You got to dig to find gold. Amen. You got to do some mining. You got to put in the work. I don't want to hold y'all. But the fact of the matter is that good things have to be found. And he says they obtain favor from the Lord. Amen. That other one translation said they obtained a blessing from the Lord. When you get a good woman, it comes from the Lord. And when you get somebody from the Lord, you found a good thing. Amen. Amen. The Bible tells us in Proverbs, amen, 31:12, that she will do him good and not evil. All the days, not part of his life, she will do him good and not evil. Proverbs 31:12, all the days of her life, she's going to do him good. As a matter of fact, in Proverbs 31:23, it says that because of her, he is sitting in the gates. She has so been under the wind beneath his wings that now he has made something out of himself. Amen. He has excelled, and he's one of the leaders. He's sitting at the city gate. Amen. Oh, Dad is at the city gate smiling. Why? Because Mama has got me over here. Mama groomed me. Mama got me ready. She keeps me ready. She keeps me calmed down. I'm going to get to that. And the fact of the matter is that I'm sitting where I am. I would not be where I am if it wasn't for that good woman that the Lord gave me. I think that's what Brother Charles was talking about. Amen. He couldn't leave his wife out. Amen. That's what you wouldn't be where you are. It's something about a woman that'll make some out of you. Amen. Amen. She'll either bring you up, she'll bring you down. You got to get the right one. You got to get one from the Lord. And when you get one from the Lord, oh, Lord, have mercy. You're going places. You're going to, the sky's the limit. Amen. And the Bible tells us, amen, that this woman is a woman that is from the Lord, and she'll do him good and not evil all the days of her life. He needs a woman. You say, how did he know he needs a woman? Because that's why he made the woman. What was the motive of God making the woman? Because Adam needed one. She was the solution to his problem. God says, it's not good for man to be alone, so I'm going to make a sports channel. No, he didn't say that. He said, it's not good for man to be alone, so I'm going to give him a sports car. Amen. It's not good for a man to be alone, so I'm going to give him a lot of money. I'm going to give him some chicken and dumplings. Amen. I'm going to give him some steak and potatoes. No. It's not good for man to be alone, so I'm going to find him a woman. That's what he needs. It's not good for him to be alone. And then the Bible makes it very plain, and you may not agree with it, but it's in the Bible, so you can't do nothing about it. 1 Corinthians 11:9 says that the woman was made for the man. God did not make the man for the woman. He made the woman for the man. That's why he made the woman for the man. I didn't write it. It's 1 Corinthians 11:9. Amen. You got to understand why you here. Why were you made? You were made, amen, because something's missing in some man's life, and you've got to give it to him. You got to complete him. Don't go to competing with him. You got to complete him. You got to bring him up to the, he needs you. Amen. That's a good thing when somebody needs your help. Amen. That speaks a lot about you. You may not be the one getting the help, but that says a lot about you, just as important as he is. If, hey, go with him. He needs your help. Amen. Y'all didn't get it. But the truth of the matter is, if you're not careful, you get this thing turned around. Amen. Just like people think about the Sabbath. How come we ain't doing what we ought to do on the Sabbath? Jesus comes along in Mark 2:27 and said the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. You're more concerned about the Sabbath than you are about man. If the man needs some help, we need to get him some help. The Sabbath is here for the man's benefit. I know it's mutual, and obviously there's going to be some reciprocity, but the truth of the matter is you are made for him. And I didn't write it, but the truth of the matter is that's just the way it is. God says, and God says that you need a wife. God didn't just say, okay, now that you need somebody, here she is. No, he said, no, we got to go through a ceremony. Would you have this woman to be your wife? You see the formalization in verse 24. God goes into what Jesus quoted in Matthew 19:5. He said, therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and be cleaved unto his wife. And now you see the formalization of these terms. Father, first time mentioned here in the Bible. Mother, a structure. God is thinking about the future. Father, mother. He didn't have no father, mother. So what are you talking about? The future. This was talking about the future. The father, mother. And now Eve becomes a wife. He says right there that a man and be joined to his wife. The establishment of the structure here, the formality of terms, mother, father, wife. Amen. The Bible is consistent all throughout Scripture. Where God made, it said Adam called his wife's name Eve in Genesis 3:20, because he called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living. She's become his wife now. She's not just another woman. She's his wife. A ceremony has occurred. The first institution of marriage has occurred before he continued the show. Amen. The story. The Bible tells us that the Bible in Romans Genesis 3:21, Adam and his wife. For Adam and his wife, the Lord made tunics of skin. Adam and his wife. She's called wife now. Amen. They've gone through a ceremony. In verse number 4 of chapter 4, he says, Adam knew Eve, his wife. Amen. In Genesis 4:1. And she conceived and bore Cain. Amen. Before the children started, Eve was identified as his wife. And he was identified as her husband. As you look at Genesis chapter 3, verse 6, the latter part that she gave to her husband. These formal terms are coming into play now that society don't want to recognize. Society don't want no words titled husbands and wives. Leave that. We don't need none of that. It's just my significant other. We just put that on there, amen. We just together. That's somebody special. No, you got to make them your wife. You got to make them your husband. This is my mother. This is my father. This is the order and the structure that God has set up. It's established in Scripture, amen. And so we see that he says, "Let me hurry on." The truth of the matter is that Adam needed a wife, and because his job was so hard, amen, because Adam is under a lot of pressure, amen. Adam is under a lot of pressure. I may not get to the children this morning. I may do it next week. I missed it at 8 o'clock. The children, Adam was under a lot of pressure, and he needed a woman for pleasure, for procreation, amen. Adam was responsible. Amen. According to Genesis chapter 2, verse 15, he was responsible for tilting the garden. He was responsible, for tending it and keeping it. He was the guardian, and he was a gardener. He had a lot of work to do. He had to take care of paradise. Adam had a great responsibility to go out in the morning and take care of this huge area of paradise and then come back home. Amen. Come back home to his wife. Amen. And he was able to do it because he had some help. He had somebody to help him, somebody to encourage him, somebody to make him enthusiastic. He had somebody to keep him built up. Amen. Amen. He needed somebody for he needed somebody physically. He needed somebody socially. He needed somebody emotionally. He needed somebody to keep him built up. And Adam needed a wife. And when he came home, he was able to keep going, to keep on ticking, simply because of the wife he had. Amen. Amen. Adam was able to do what he needed to do because of the wife and the woman that he had. Adam was blessed. Adam was encouraged, and he was encouraged. He could go to work and come home. Ever got a witness? And his wife was waiting for him. Amen. The pressure that was on Adam. Amen. There's a lot of men on a lot of pressure. It's a lot of pressure to be a father. Think about it. They got to make sure everything's right. They're always fixing something. They're always solving some problem. If something needs to be done, they got to do it. Amen. They got to make sure the security is in the house. Everything's locked. Everything, can't nobody get in. What if this happened? Amen. If something goes wrong, I got to fix it. Amen. They are responsible for fixing problems, for solving problems. Amen. Running errands. They're important for the important. They're responsible for the important things and the unimportant things. Amen. Men have a lot of pressure on them. Can you imagine that? A lot of weight is put on the man's shoulder. Amen. He got to take care of everything that's going on. He's the fix-it man. He's the repair man. Amen. He's responsible for everything. Amen. He's got to take care of the family. Amen. The major and the minor. Amen. If you had a restaurant, your wife left a coat. Amen. Dad, go get a coat. Amen. Amen. If you get up in the morning and the kids didn't left their shoes in the car, go out, run to the car and get their tennis shoes and bring them back. Amen. He's an errand boy. Amen. He's running and ripping. He's fixing. He's solving. And he got to show himself strong. It's possible, amen, that he may feel down. He's constantly under pressure. He's constantly performing. He's under pressure to perform. He's under pressure to provide. He's under pressure to make it happen. He's under pressure to make it work. Daddy is under pressure for that which is stressful or whether it is simple. He's got to make it happen. He's the guy standing over in the corner and figuring out how it's going to work the next day before the next day comes. Amen. He got to keep food on the table. He got to keep the switches lit. Amen. 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 You got to do it all. He is. There's a lot of weight. There's a load that is on the shoulder. He's a repairman. He carries the weight of the family, the sacrifices that he has to make, because he's responsible for that family. No wonder the doctor said that women outlive the men. Maybe it's because they got so much stress on them. Amen. Everywhere they go, they gotta be strong, and they can't show their feelings, and they're supposed to be macho and ego, and they're egotistical, and they have a lot of pressure, what I'm saying, and therefore their lifespan, according to medically, is drastically reduced. But I'm here to tell you, it's possible that daddy may not be happy. People don't often show their unhappiness. Dad may be sitting in this building right now and sad and unhappy because there's so much weight on his shoulder, and he's overlooked, and he is constantly in demand. Amen. The demand of daddies, even, amen, to open the door for the car for his wife and to drive the car once it's open. He's constantly got to do the little and the big things. He's got to make everything work. Amen, amen, amen. You say, well, God built him that way, and he's strong. Well, let him go ahead and do it. Amen. God, he can handle it. That's his job. I didn't give it to him. God gave it to him, but God also gave him a... Y'all overlooked it. So apparently God says that although he can do it, he still needs some help. dad still needs your help. He's macho and he got muscles and biceps and ripple a six-pack stomach, perhaps. But he still... He still needs you because people hide their feelings. We just witnessed two people we love or care about in the designer and this other young man, this man who I didn't want to call him by his name because we had to edit it out. Amen. But the truth of the matter is that we've lost people who apparently they were hurting and nobody knew about it. And I'm concluding that they apparently got to the point where they really concluded that there was no answer to the problem. That means they had become hopeless. And Martin Luther King said, when you lose hope, you die. That's the last thing. Whenever I got a situation and I don't see it changing, I don't see no potential of it changing, I'm going to have to just check out because this problem cannot. They had got to the point to where they concluded that there was no help and there was no hope. And that the only answer was I got to just check out. You ever been there? You may not have been there, but people get when they get to that point, they've lost hope. They've given up all hope. And they, at that point, they just say, you know, I may as well check out. Amen. The question becomes, are the people happy who make you happy? It's easy to absorb all the happiness and assume, yeah, you're okay. Just keep doing what you're doing. You're okay. But the people that's making you happy may not be happy. They may be miserable. Dad may be miserable. Dad may be unloved. Dad may be sad. Now, whatever the case may be, Satan may have gotten in the home, and Dad is still carrying that load, and he's really not happy. He's unfulfilled. He's sad. He's hurting, but he's still carrying the load. Amen. And he can't say nothing because he got to be strong. Can't let nobody know. Before you knew it, he'll break down. Next thing you know, Dad, pressure has taken Dad to the ground. And the question become, are those who make us happy, happy? And we got to wreck on that because God wants him to be happy. But in the midst of all of the things that are going on, I don't think I'm going to get to the kids today. Amen. I got something for the kids, too. Amen. Because they can help him out, too. That son that wouldn't go in. Amen. But I won't. This is Father's Day, so I'm going to go on. The truth of the matter is that it's possible that he's not happy. And the worst thing in the world is for somebody, for someone, for some woman, some wife to just overlook him. Because he said your primary help is right there. You've seen men work and sweat and do things and walk into the room and where everybody's eating and somebody said, well, you know, you're hugging here, and the girlfriend say, he tells his girlfriend he know where the kitchen is, he can get his plate, won't even fix him a plate. My man, won't even he better child, he know where the child, you know how black boy, I don't want to get it. Man out there cutting the yard more and back of it. You won't even take him a glass of water. And Sister Sally that he worked with every week is dying. She'll bring him some on the job and give it to him. She'll say, let me rub your feet. You don't want to get... I think we better go. Amen. Come on up here. And they said, let him get it himself. Treat him like, and the sad reality is that God has called you to be his helper. God is the one is telling us that he needs some help. And there are a lot of silently hurting people who needs help. And maybe today you need to recognize that if you want to give Daddy something, why don't you give him, amen, why don't you give him some respect? She's there, amen. why don't you work with your father? Show some appreciation. Not everyone has, all people have fathers. But she's there to make life more easier. Yes, he has to go to work. And we could get into other things, but I ain't gonna get into it today. She can make it life more enjoyable. She can make him more effective. She can make the quality of his work more effective because she's doing those little things that make daddy go a long ways. See, it's the little things. Amen. Those things that you can do that'll help him go further. He can operate more efficiently. Amen. He can do a lot with minimal effort. He can work smarter and not harder. Maybe you don't want to be married. I don't know. But the fact of the matter is that when it's like it ought to be, you're a relief to dad. Dad needs some help. If you stand to your feet.